Welcome to a Burning Fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Psalm 119, verse 104. We must love what God loves. We must hate what God hates. And while we love people who hold to error, we hate the error to which they hold. And such is applicable to the religious group that is known as the Jehovah's Witnesses. We have no personal animosity whatsoever to anyone who follows the Jehovah Witness faith. But, dear friend, we not only have the right, we have the obligation to expose and oppose false doctrines of any religious group. This religious group was founded by Charles Taz Russell, and for a time it was known as Russellites. This man founded Zion's Watchtower in 1879. It's not unfair to say that he was a scoundrel and a fraud. Many today will readily admit that. He was taken into court many times because of his misdeeds and proven to be a liar, making false claims, guilty of forgery and fraudulent promotions. Jehovah's Witnesses do not like to refer to him because of the kind of man that he was. Although he was their founder, it is to their credit that they would rather disclaim him. Russell was succeeded by one named Judge J.F. Rutherford, who was a tireless and a brilliant man in many ways. He did serve a term in the Atlanta Federal Penitentiary because of a violation of the Espionage Act in 1918. He, of course, has since died. Now, they adopted the name of Jehovah's Witnesses at Columbus, Ohio in 1931, leaving the name of Russell. And the head of their body is the man who serves as the president of the Watchtower. There is no question but the Jehovah's Witnesses are a very zealous and hard-working people in promoting their faith. They print literature in massive amounts. Their magazine is produced in hundreds of languages from their printing plant and their school in Brooklyn, New York. They are very mission-minded, and preaching their message in at least 160 nations, maybe more, going from house to house with their literature, constantly seeking converts. They have also gained notoriety through opposition to the laws of the United States regarding service in the armed forces and refusing to salute the flag and such things as that. They have been the object of much persecution throughout the world by the Roman Catholic Church. And huge mass meetings at the New York Yankee Stadium has brought them a lot of publicity. The prime source of their belief are the writings, however, of Russell in seven volumes called Studies in the Scriptures. The importance of these writings is seen in their own comments regarding them. Quote, "They are not mere comments on the Bible. They are practically the Bible itself. Furthermore, not only do we find that people cannot see the divine plan in studying the Bible by itself, but we see also that if anyone lays the scripture studies aside, even after he has used them, after he has become familiar with them, after he has read them for 10 years, if he then lays them aside and ignores them and goes to the Bible alone, though he has understood his Bible for 10 years, our experience shows that within 2 years he goes into darkness. On the other hand, if he has merely read the scripture studies with their references and had not read a page of the Bible as such, he would be in the light at the end of 2 years because he would have the light of the scriptures." Unquote. This from the Watchtower, September 15, 1910, page 298. Is the religion of the Jehovah's Witnesses from God or from man? They claim they teach the Bible and claim to be Christians through their Latter-day Revelation. And since they make that claim, they are of concern to those who claim to teach the Bible and to be Christians but differ with them. Their doctrines can be proven false by an examination of the Scriptures and comparing the Scriptures with their doctrines. And friend, if a doctrine is not like the Bible, it is not true. Only if a doctrine is like the Bible is it true. But when there is variance, that which is not of the Bible is false. Now, they deny the Bible doctrine of the deity that includes the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They claim the doctrine of the Trinity originated with the devil. Quote, "There is one solitary being from all eternity, Jehovah God, the creator and preserver of the universe and of all things visible and invisible." Unquote. Jehovah of the Watchtower, page 30. They deny the eternal nature of Christ, contending that Christ is a created being. They deny that he was God, and that he was also man while on earth, but only a lesser God. They deny the personality of the Holy Spirit, claiming that he is an invisible active force of Almighty God. But there is an abundant evidence in Scripture to support the teaching of three persons in the Godhead, all of the same substance, co-equal, co-existent, co-eternal, immutable forever. At the creation we read, "Let us make man after our likeness," Genesis 1. The word translated as God in the Hebrew word Elohim, which is a plural word, means more than one. There is nothing in the Bible that teaches Jesus was a lesser God. There is one God, not greater and lesser gods. The Bible teaches monotheism, not polytheism. If Christ is any kind of God, he must be eternal and one with deity in every respect. Jehovah's Witnesses ask, "Who ran the universe while Jesus was in the grave?" But Christians do not teach that the entire Godhead became flesh, or that the entire Godhead was buried in the tomb. Only the one that is called the Son did that. When Christ said, "All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth," Matthew 28:18, this showed his equality with the Father. John 5:23 says that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. "He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him." Jesus claimed to be one with the Father. John 17:22. A denial of the three persons of the Godhead denies the deity of Christ. And that fact is the cornerstone and basic fundamental truth of all New Testament Christianity, that Jesus is deity. In Hebrews 1 and verse 8, he's called God. Christ revealed God in human form. Philippians 2:5-11 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Couple that with Hebrews 1:1-4. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, and he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Colossians 2:9 tells us, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Friend, how could this be, except there be the eternal nature of Christ? And so it would be with Hebrews 13:8, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever." Jesus prayed in John 17, "And now, Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory that I had with thee before the world was." Now this demands an eternal nature, possessed only by deity. John 1:13-14 expresses, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And as for the Holy Spirit is not just a glorified it. He is a person, not an abstract, invisible force and influence. In John 14 and 15 and 16 and many other passages, there's the use of the personal pronoun with reference to him, the Holy Spirit. He possesses the characteristics of a person. He teaches, he speaks, he makes intercession, he has a mind. And when we're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Matthew 28:19. All three are mentioned in 2 Corinthians 13:14. Well, time permits us citing all the scriptures that could prove beyond any question that the Godhead, and that refers to the Godhood, deity, is composed of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And herein, those of the Jehovah Witness religion are totally in error. It is but a short step from denying the deity of Christ to deny his bodily resurrection. Jehovah of the Watchtower, page 30, says, "The man Jesus Christ was resurrected a divine spirit creature after offering the ransom for obedient man." You see, they claim he did not appear in the same body as before his crucifixion. He was resurrected only as a spirit. The writings of Russell teach that he was dissolved in gases or is preserved somewhere as a memorial to God's love, but the Bible tells a different story. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. But other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said, "Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. And then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then said he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." John 20, verses 24 through 29. It would be difficult to persuade those disciples that Jesus rose from the tomb only a spirit being. No reasonable person would dare say that the body of Jesus was not manifest at that time. Christ said specifically he was not just spirit but flesh. Notice. "And as he thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you." But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, "Why are ye troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I, myself. Handle me and see, for spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, "Have ye not here any meat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. Luke 24, 34 through 46. Furthermore, there are many appearances of Jesus before people, in addition to these that we read about in 1 Corinthians 15. Friend, to deny the bodily resurrection of Christ, which Jehovah's Witnesses do, is to deny biblical truth. Furthermore, Jehovah's Witnesses teach that Christ returned to this earth in 1914 and is now here in spirit. Now, we do not deny that Christ is here in spirit, inasmuch as he promised that he would be, Matthew 28 and verse 20. But not in the sense that Jehovah's Witnesses teach. Jesus Christ has returned in A.D. 1914, they say, and he has expelled Satan from heaven, and he is proceeding to overthrow Satan's organization, and he will establish a theocratic millennial kingdom and vindicate the name of Jehovah God. Friend, he did not return in a physical form. and he is invisible as the Logos. Nobody saw him come, but he came secretly and quietly. That's all what they say. That's what they teach, that he didn't come as he went away, that he's invisible. There's no explanation as to how they propose to prove this claim. Russell first claimed that he came in 1874, but Jehovah's Witnesses are silent about that claim. Again, the scriptures tell a different story, don't they? His return will not be invisible and secret, but visible and audible, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. At his ascension it was promised, and when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Acts 1:9-11. Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3:10, But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, into which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements with fervent shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. To deny his physical coming, to claim that he has already come in a secret, invisible way, and to claim that it's already past, is to deny the things that the scripture says were going to take place when Christ comes again. Furthermore, Jehovah's Witnesses deny the immortality of the soul of man. They are rank materialist. Man to them is wholly mortal, like animals, and man will cease to exist once he dies. The soul of man is not eternal, they say in Jehovah of the Watchtower, page 30, but mortal, and it can die. Animals likewise have souls, though man has the preeminence by special creation. Now that's the teaching of Jehovah's Witnesses. But the Bible teaches man is a soul, that he is a spirit, in the likeness of God. You consider the teaching of the account of both the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16. Both men lived, both men died, both men existed after death, both men were in a state of consciousness. The body that was buried was something different from that which went into the unseen world. Oh, I know they passed that off as a parable, but this was the teaching of Jesus. He would not use error to try to teach truth. In Ecclesiastes 12:9, And the dust returneth to the earth as it was, and the spirit returneth unto God who gave it. Jesus taught, Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming into which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. John 5:28-29. Why, now that's not a teaching that harmonizes with the cessation of man's existence at death. Both will be raised, and both shall be judged, and both shall go into eternity. When Jesus was confronted with those who denied life after death, in much the same fashion as Jehovah's Witnesses do, he said, Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Matthew 22:29-32. Friend, these patriarchs had lived and died long ago, physically. But Jesus said they were living. Does this sound like the Jehovah's Witness doctrine that the spirit of man dies and then just ceases to be? Certainly not. Another error of that religious system. One final observation. Jehovah's Witnesses deny a continuous and eternal punishment for everybody, or anybody. Hell, to them, simply means a place of fiery torment where sinners remain after death until the resurrection. They say it just simply does not exist. This is a doctrine, they claim, of organized religion and not the Bible. Hell is the common grave of mankind, literally Sheol, a place of rest and hope, where the departed sleep unto the resurrection by Jehovah God. Well, they also teach, eternal punishment is a punishment or penalty of which there is no end. It does not mean eternal torment of living souls. Annihilation, the second death, is the lot of those who reject Jehovah God and His eternal. Now, both of these statements are from Jehovah of the Watchtower, page 30 and 31. Now, they deny the reality of hell. They deny eternal punishment. They contend that when one who is wicked dies, he is simply annihilated. He no more is. Now, when you compare that doctrine with 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9, you will see how false the Jehovah's Witness doctrine is. Because we see there both the righteous and the unrighteous and their continued existence after the judgment. In Matthew 25, verse 46, it refutes it altogether because he speaks of eternal life. It also speaks of everlasting punishment. Revelation 20 and verse 10 teaches contrary to that doctrine also. Their doctrine is consoling. You know, it's consoling to think there would be no punishment and that the worst that could happen to us would be that it would cease to exist, but the doctrine is simply not true. Now, there are other doctrines of Jehovah's Witnesses that are false, but this has already been an extended amount sufficiently to prove beyond doubt that Jehovah never taught what those who claim to be His witnesses teach. Friend, with kindness toward them, and no hostility or hatred whatever toward them personally, but toward their doctrine, their false teachers with false doctrines, have produced a false religion, and are deserving of exposure and opposition and rejection and refutation. But they also deserve to hear the truth, that they might believe and obey and be saved. And that truth is that one must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, repent of his sins, confess his faith in Christ, and be buried with his Lord in baptism, to be raised to walk in newness of life, and to live a faithful life before God so that heaven might be his home. All mankind has the right to hear that good news. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.